Hello, and welcome back to the Chatting with Holly podcast series. I've been chatting with some wonderful owners of incredible private residences and hotel collections. And today it's really lovely to be speaking with an extremely successful entrepreneur who has gone from heading up a private equity fund management business into hospitality. It's great to be speaking with Paul Skiller, who, along with his wife Poppy, own a fabulous five-star property, Glenapp Castle, in Ayrshire, Scotland. Paul, good afternoon. Good
afternoon, Holly. Thanks for having me involved.
It's really lovely to chat with you. So, Paul, you are the CEO of a highly successful private equity company, Truestone Impact Investment Management. Can you tell me a little bit more about your journey that you've taken from wealth management into hospitality? And how have you ended up buying a beautiful castle?
So, interestingly, when I was 19. I didn't do particularly well in my education. I ended up doing night porter work, wine waiter, banqueting waiters, and traveling around, even up to Scotland, actually, to the Isle of Mull, with a view to one day possibly becoming a hotel manager. And I thought, that's the track I'll go down.
Yes.
And interestingly, during the very, very hot summer of 76, found myself in London, met some friends. We managed to spend most of my money that long weekend. And so I needed to stay in London. And somehow got into selling and into the city and into financial services and never left. So when we sold the big company in 2014, I said to my wife and others, I'm not particularly inspired by the stock markets or bond market. I'd love to buy a tangible asset with people at the center of it. Love hospitality, always enjoyed, you know, looking after people in a private capacity. And so I put a remit out to a property finder. And lo and behold, this amazing property came up on the West Coast. And I showed it to my wife. And she said, oh, my goodness, I know that hotel.
Really?
I looked at it for our honeymoon. because I, as well as selling the business that year, I got married for the first time at 56.
Wow.
And my wife had researched Glenapp Castle very thoroughly. And there were so many little nods, if you like, that we thought, come on, this will be. I'd always loved the west coast of Scotland and holidayed there for many, many years. But I thought, how hard can it be to take on a totally different business if fundamentally you love people and you enjoy, you know, I'm an extrovert. And my crude thinking was, if we buy it well enough, you know, price-wise, we can afford to make some mistakes.
Yeah,
and we did.
I know certainly David and I made quite a few mistakes when we first set up the business, but I think that's part of the journey, isn't it?
Absolutely. So sort of broadly, if you knew what you knew all the years later, you'd probably still do it, but quite a challenge.
So do you think, obviously, you've traveled a lot and, you know, you've been very involved in social impact investment. I mean, how much do you think that's influenced some of the decisions that you've made with regards to Glenapp?
Well, quite a lot, actually, because it's still part of our Truestone group of companies at Glenapp.
Yes.
A number of people have said to me, so tell me what luxury hospitality has to do with, you know, the other things that you're involved with. And I've always loved this connection with the world of much and the world of little, that people should never despise those with wealth, because there's such amazing stories often behind how it's being created and how people use their resources. Mm-hmm. And in my own mindset, I've always felt that the best way to mentor people is to be absolutely alongside them, not teaching them from a distance, if you like. So when we looked at Glenapp from that perspective, it is one of the poorer corners of Scotland.
Yeah.
Very beautiful, but high levels of unemployment. And for some reason, probably an obvious one, people traveling to Scotland would normally head further north.
Yes.
To the Highlands and the West Coast, Inverness. But this part seemed very neglected. And I absolutely adore a challenge. So I was thinking, come on, if we bring our resources and marketing skills and we retain all the team that are there and build on that, then it should be an interesting journey. And so I remember standing up in front of the then staff in 2015 and saying, we're going to have evolution and not revolution.
Yes.
And they all kind of look at me, and we've had revolution ever since.
Well, do you know what I really like? What I really notice, and it was apparent, I mean, I've known Glenapp for years, and I think because I used to go over to Ireland a lot on the ferry, and it's on the route, and I'm passing by quite often. But what I really noticed is you've really extended people's stay, because I can see what you've done in terms of you've been quite visionary in that you've not only created some wonderful culinary offerings, the glasshouse is stunning. It really is stunning. And, you know, you've created more experiences, not just within the castle and the surrounding area, but you've embraced the coastline and the islands as well. And I think that's really clever because, I mean, I think I do know your clients' average stay has certainly increased.
I'm certain that's the case. So part of the philosophy, if you like, was to say, if we make Glenapp more of a destination, then what do we need to offer beyond, you know, fantastic cuisine? As that philosophy has grown, we said, well, we need to be able to offer experiences and activities that are relatively unique, that would draw people down to this part of the world. So maybe a little bit of artistic license here, but we began to think of ourselves as the gateway to the Hebrides from this part of the world, as the gateway to Ireland, because we're so Irish ferries and to Northern Ireland, and to reimagine who we were. And we bought a very beautiful boat from Northern Ireland, actually, called a Red Bay, and started by doing excursions out to our very local island and to Arran. So once a year, I used to bring my young private equity team up from London and show them Glenapp and say, come on, we'll take the boat. It's just for us for 5 days or 6 days, and we'll go and explore.
Yes.
And one week, we got as far as St Kilda.
I know.
Which is, you know, it's on the way to Newfoundland. I mean, 50 miles from Harris, you know, going west.
I know.
And that week, we slept in bothies and camped on beaches, caught mackerel, saw the most spectacular sights, and we did about 1,000 miles on the boat. It's become an annual pilgrimage. We've got our next one coming up in a fortnight. But in trading up the boat to a bigger one, I couldn't possibly justify it just doing trips to Ailsa Craig, you know, picnics on the island and seeing the birds. So. We imagined what it would be like to see our guests doing what we were doing on that pilgrimage and then giving them absolute concierge services, beautiful Glenapp food in a glamping environment. And so we made an arrangement with a landowner on the end of Jura and put the whole thing together, conceived it. And Paul Charles, who's our PR company, PC agency in London, I put it to him and said, this will fly. I said, okay, so let's get some journalists.
Yeah.
So the very first trip that we did was the Financial Times, the Telegraph and the Times. And literally, we're still screwing the chairs together moments before the boat arrived. And the next thing, the brazier's all there, the whiskey's ready. They've caught some mackerel. So that was served with a raspberry coulée. And then there's a spit roast lamb. And these teams of journalists absolutely loved it. And we got, I think, probably 2/3 of a page in the FT. And certainly we're getting guests from Dubai, Chile, America.
I think it's inspiring. I really, you know, to your point, I mean, it's so true. You have these islands so close to you and they are stunning. And I think a lot of people come in, they want to see the islands, but they may just go to Skye because it's accessible. And, you know, we're constantly trying to encourage people to go further afield. And I think what you've done is just, it's perfect. There's so much on each island is different as well.
It is very different. So I remember a couple, husband, time poor, with their 14-year-old daughter. And they were on the boat with us for a few days. We took them to Colonsay.
Yes.
And they had this, they wanted to mountain bike. So we take some bikes with us on the boat. So here they are mountain biking across this white flat beach with great big cattle on the beach, but no people.
Yeah.
And we said, look, here's a phone, just call and our concierge team will deliver your picnic. So their picnic arrives on the beach and you could see that the experience for them was so rich, you know, in terms of doing something extraordinarily different. And as you say, Colonsay, Oronsay,
Tyree,
absolutely stunning Tyree, and even some of the more obscure islands, you know, Sanda Island, which is nearer to us, They're all absolutely beautiful.
I know. And I think you'll know this, but I think having that time to reconnect, you know, whether it's a group or a family, I think, well, you know, we have previously all been so busy and running around. And I think, you know, it's excellent that you can offer that. And to have that experience and to meet the locals and to go fishing. And don't you you have a sea eagle that you use as well, which I think is great. I love that story.
Yeah, so we have a company that we partner with, Elite Falconry, and they come down and do lots of displays for our guests. But the particular eagle that you're talking about is called Ripley.
Yes.
And Ripley's been trained, so he comes out on the boat. And we often moor up underneath Culzean Castle at the bottom of the cliffs. Mm-hmm. And Ripley will go on shore and then fly straight to the boat. Sometimes he'll dive for fish. And it's not too choreographed. It's quite natural in a way.
Yes.
People really enjoy it. Yeah.
It's amazing. No, I do. I feel you have been very visionary because, you know, as I say, I've known the castle for years. And it's wonderful to see what you're doing. And I think immersing people with local traditions as well. I think you've been very clever at bringing experiences to guests and opening up. You know, it is a wonderful part of Scotland. And you're right. People tend to go north. And I think it's great having people going to that part because it is a stunning part. And I think it is a bit more untouched.
Yes. And when you think of what's on our doorstep here, you've got the Dark Skies National Park.
Yes.
So we often get people coming in just to, with an astrophysicist, someone showing them how all the stars are and what their names are and sort of sitting in the gardens with a hot chocolate or a whiskey. So there's about 80 different experiences and activities we have now. And then as part of your question on how do we get people to stay for longer, the inclusion this year of the Glass House has been really, really special. So this was it's called a Moncur and Mackenzie traditional glass house. There's only a few left in Scotland. And it's about 150 feet long. So we spent money restoring the infrastructure, if you like. It's filled with vines and figs and fruit trees. And we've put lots more things in there. And then we converted a tea rooms into a professional kitchen and said, look, if you're staying in a 5-star hotel, you're sooner or later going to get a little bit fed up of the fine dining, glorious as it is. But if you can have a beautiful halibut with asparagus and chips and, you know, and that's the informal dining, if you like, but still with style in the glass house.
I absolutely love it. And you've restored it beautifully. I'm really looking forward to it. I saw it just before it was officially open. And
that's right.
It's amazing. I love it. I mean, I love the gardens, but I love the fact, as you say, it's a different experience for your clients. And it is wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
As I say, it's been fantastic seeing what you're doing. And I know you've got the penthouse apartment, which is going to be coming on board soon as well, which is another exciting venture. I just wanted, before I finish, I just wanted to ask, what's next? Have you got further plans for the next coming years? Or
I don't think I'm exhausting our general manager and his team yet. We had a 7-year plan.
Yes.
When we bought in 2015, which has now become an 8-year plan. But essentially, we're starting to restore some of the lovely cottages that we have in the grounds. There's a number of those around the wall garden. So they'll be very, very special. We'd like to get those on stream for perhaps the end of next year. And then we'll be applying for planning permission. We have a huge stable block where Lord Inchcape used to keep his horses and Rolls Royces. It's very dilapidated. Yes. But we'd like that to become a spa and another 8 bedrooms with some more dining alternatives in there and have that open by the spring of 23. The spa would only be for our guests, not for the outside world. But that would bring us up with the cottages to about 35 bedrooms. And I think at that level, you're at the optimum level commercially without losing any of the home
touches.
Sense. Rather it becoming, you know, a hotel with a different ambiance, if you like. I think we can keep the level of service up at that scale.
Yes, yeah. Well, you've got a great team.
Thank you, Holly.
And thank you, Paul. It's been really lovely chatting with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing the apartment when it's officially open and returning. So hopefully before too long, I'll be able to do that. And thank you. And we look forward to just continuing with our strong relationships and sending more clients your way. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for yours. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.